Hey everybody, it's Michelle. I am here to talk to you about our Patreon page. This is the page that you can go to help support our podcast with a monthly donation. When you commit to supporting us, you can get additional bonus content such as extra podcasts, our favorite playlists, our show notes, and eventually we would like to have merchandise to sell like t-shirts and baseball caps, and we would let you have first dibs at those. Of course, because we are coffee moms, we are offering membership levels that are as follows: the coffee membership, the cold brew membership, or the espresso membership. Now, no pressure whatsoever, but if you do love our podcast and you would like to help support it, you can go to patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. That is Patreon, patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. There you can choose a membership level that works for you. Melissa and I want to thank you in advance for your love and your support.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm still Michelle.
And today we are talking about depressed or suicidal mamas.
Ugh, it's going to be a rough one.
Yes, it is. But don't worry, guys. I have the most adorable mama moment to like offer you a good cleanse.
Beforehand.
So we're going to get right into that.
All right.
So my mama moment this week is, I don't know if you all know this, but I have a daughter named Rayla.
And she's super cute and my best friend.
And she was just born a diva. I don't know how it happened. But she has taken to being very particular about the shoes that she wears.
Oh my goodness.
And I don't mean like whether they're too small or too big or whatever. I mean like how pretty are these shoes in comparison to her outfit? Do they match? Are they glittery enough?
And she's not two yet.
No, she's not two yet. She'll be two in a couple weeks. But this is the little girl that I am raising. I don't know how it happened, but
I do.
She has started doing this thing where if we go to put her shoes on, she has to approve of the shoes that we're going to put on her feet before we put them on her feet. If she does not approve, she picks them up, throws them across the room, and loudly exclaims how ugly they are.
Ugly! Ugly!
In her cute little almost two voice. So this week, we were trying to put shoes on her, and it's like at that weird time where it's like just so gross humid outside, and I mean, I try really hard just to let the kids run around outside with no shoes on. Mm-hmm. Well, Rayla wants to wear like high wedge heels outside to play and run around with her brothers because those shoes are pretty.
Right.
And God forbid she has ugly feet from walking on the ground. Ugh. So this week, she like threw this whole fit about just going outside in her normal shoes, and I had to like lean down and look her in her eyes, and I was like, listen here, little girl, you're not always gonna be cute everywhere that you go. And she just like, she does this like librarian look where she like puts her chin basically on her chest and furrows her eyebrows and looks up at me, and she just like, so she did that and she looked up at me with furrowed eyebrows and like pouty lips, and she goes, "Don't you dare."
I swear, I'm so glad I don't have to live with her when she's a teenager. But I love her.
So Mike comes and picks her up to like take her outside, and she just starts screaming, "Don't you dare! Don't you dare!" Put her outside without shoes on. That's what she's saying, "Don't you dare," about. Right. "Don't you dare make me leave this house without my pretty shoes." So that's my mama moment. I don't know how it happened. Let me tell you guys. It's ridiculous. And it keeps getting worse.
I love it, though. Because when I watched the kids a couple weeks ago, I keep coming back to, I would say something to her, and John would say to me, "She doesn't understand you. She's just a baby." I'm looking at her right now with her little raised eyebrows challenging me. She knows what I said.
She does. She actually, like, she understands a lot, and I can always tell that she understands a lot, because like if I'm asking one of the boys to do something and like they're being like lazy bums, sometimes she'll just go and do it.
Right.
And it's not like I'm saying like pick up the toy. It's like I'm saying, "Can you go over there under the chair and grab the cord that is in there and plug it into the outlet over here?"
It's like a complex,
like it's three steps. Yep, yeah. Exactly. And she's able to do that whole thing. So she listens, she understands, she's not a baby.
No, she's cute and maybe a baby, so but she's my best friend, Jeanette.
She called you out. You know, I'm going to get a text when she listens to this podcast. "Did you hear what Michelle just said to me?"
That was just personal. Something personal on the show for a friend.
There's an Easter egg for you. All right. So, tell me about your mama moment.
So my mama moment this week is the other morning I was up with Joe and I was tired. I've just been like super tired this week, and I don't know if it's the heat or whatever. It's just like
you're
I
pregnant. Wake up
more. I mean, I wouldn't be upset about it. I just wish I knew so I could commence eating whatever I wanted. Be angry and everything. Justifiably angry about everything. But so I was sitting on the couch, and at one point, Joe was sitting and watching TV, and if you have Netflix, you know that after so many episodes have gone through,
it judges you. Says,
"Are you going to continue watching?"
Which when you're watching something like Numbers Blocks is really annoying, because Numbers Blocks is like 5 minutes long.
But exactly. And so I was just like, yes, Netflix, you do judge me, and I hate that. But, so it stopped, and he kind of stopped, and he came over because he wanted the remote so he could push play on it and continue the show. But he said, before he grabbed it, he said, "Mommy, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something very special." And he like leans into me, and then he like tickled me. He was, "Ha ha ha ha, I got you." And so I took him and I like squeezed him really hard in like a hug. And I said, "Oh yeah, well, I just took all your love from you." And so for like the next half hour, it turned into like this huge play thing of like, we were going to tell each other a secret or something. And then, but then we would tickle or squeeze the love out of one another. And it was such a memorable, good moment for me, because let me tell you, he's been a terrorist the whole rest of the week. He peed on me, friends. And
it's not funny, because I just, when she texted me, I was just like, it blew my mind. And she followed up immediately with like, "It was not an accident. He did it on purpose. He was laughing." And I was just
like he was proud of me. He's like sitting, because he was kind of like behind me. So I knew he was peeing, because he peed to the front of us, and I'm like, "Do you have to do this right next to me?" And then he stopped, so I thought he was done. And then, like, the next thing I knew, I hear this like, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." I'm like, "Oh, he's playing with one of the dogs or something." No, he comes up and he like taps me. He's like, "Hey, I peed on you." So understand, it's not been a good week in the O'Brien household.
Oh my goodness.
But that moment just outshined the rest of everything else that went on. And can I tell you, because I've heard people say that, like, work from home or stay at home moms that have like side hustles and stuff, they have said, hey, if you just give your kid like a specific amount of time where you play with them or focus on them and do what they want to do, they'll give you an hour to 2 hours to do what you need to get done. And I've always been like, I'm not even gonna try it, because I know this is not, Joe just wants to suck the life and enjoyment out of me until there is none left. I really do love you, Joe, just in case you're listening in 2035. But no, after that, he went and played in his playroom for 2 hours and did not come back out. His dad went in and talked to him and was trying to get him to, and he's like, no, I'm playing. And I was like, I mean, so that's like a mom moment on top of my mom moment.
Right.
Like, holy cow, that really worked. And it was so unintentional and just kind of morphed from like a little innocent
wow
play thing that he tried doing. But it really was just the giggling and the laughing. And then when he looked at the clock, and he's four, but apparently he can tell time. He says, it's time for daddy to be up. And it was. And he says, I'm going to go tickle and squeeze all the love out of daddy now. And he ran up. And it, so we went up there and we attacked daddy together. And so it turned into like another 15 minutes from that. And then off he went and played. I was like,
what is going on?
I gave 45 minutes to get 2 hours free. This is good math.
Right? That is good math.
Excuse me.
I would do that.
So that's my mama moment of the week.
Aww.
Yeah. I think, honestly, he's just manipulating me. He's driving me mad and then reeling me in with some love. And
right.
Just make me crazy.
All right, so we're going to get into our topic, which is about depressed or suicidal mamas. I found this article that I really wanted. It's like a letter. It's from sheknows.com. It's written by Kimberly Zapata, and I'm gonna read it. An open letter to depressed or suicidal moms. Dearest mama, you may not know me and I may not know you, but I see you, I get you, I understand you. I know exactly what you're thinking and how you feel. Of course, I know that many that may not mean much. My virtual compassion does not make you feel any happier or any better. I cannot do anything to take away your pain, but I care. I promise you I care, as do others. So please, if you've got a minute, stick around, hear me out. You see, I am a wife, a mother, a mental health advocate, and a consumer. I have bipolar disorder, depressive disorder, anxiety disorder, and have survived suicide. Twice. As much as I've been exactly where you are, I've contemplated suicide both as a person and as a parent. The last time I considered taking my life, I was a mom. And while I had everything to live for, a loving daughter, a loving partner, a great job, and good home, when I was suicidal, none of that mattered. It wasn't enough. Why? Because I felt empty. I felt isolated. I felt numb and alone. And my guess is you know those feelings too. You want to run away, to hide, to disappear. You want to fade into nothingness and never return. But my greatest struggle wasn't the void, as I call it. It was the feelings of shame and guilt. I believed I was a burden to my family, like I was pulling everyone around me down with me. And I thought, they'll be better off without me. I believed, genuinely believed, my death was the best thing I could do to protect those I loved. And that's not true. I promise you that is not true. And I promise you this. What you are going through right now in this very moment is temporary. The veil will lift. The darkness will pass. You will just have to hang on. For another minute, another second, another moment, hang on. Make no mistake. I hate telling you that. I know how unbelievably hard everything is right now. Being hurts. Breathing hurts. And the smallest tasks seem monumental. You may be snappy and short-tempered. You may feel broken, useless, pathetic, and apathetic, and you may be struggling to eat or sleep. getting up and getting dressed may feel like a chore. In parenting, that's probably the furthest thing from your mind. That, or it is the only thing on your mind as you feel inadequate. The guilt is consuming you. You believe you're a bad person, a bad parent, a bad mom. But having depression does not mean that you're a bad parent, or having suicidal thoughts does not make you a bad mom. What you are is sick, not bad or crazy. You're facing a real disease, because depression is an illness, a mental illness, and it is one that distorts your thoughts. It makes you believe you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, and it tells you that you're helpless, hopeless, lost, and alone. But, and this is a big but, it is an illness, and having that illness doesn't make you weak. It doesn't mean you're out of control or your life is out of control, even though it feels that way. And it doesn't mean you aren't meant to be a mom. It doesn't mean people would be better off without you. What it means is that you're like 6.2 million other adults in the United States, or 6.7% of the population, because 6 million of us have or have had at least one major depressive episode. There are 1 million survivors each and every year of attempted suicide. So, I say to you now the words I wanted to hear, the words I needed to hear when I was last staring down a bottle of pills, when I was penning a goodbye letter to my daughter, my 4-year-old little girl. You are strong, you're important, you matter, and you're loved. So, so loved. And while I know I cannot pull you out of the darkness, while I know love cannot take away your pain, there are things that can. Therapy, meditation, and time all can. And you can get through this. You will, because I'm not giving up on you. Not now, not ever. From your friend, fellow mom, and survivor from a virtual world away. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. So, I found this letter, and I thought it was, like, I liked it a lot, which is why you had to hear me read it to you. So, I'm going to do a shameless plug. Sorry, Michelle. So I'm writing a book right now. So I'm a survivor of suicide and self-harm. And I'm writing a book right now. So I'm very like engulfed in this mindset of just like suicide and like being a survivor of suicide and whatever. And I was doing like research just about like parents who suffer from like suicide and that sort of stuff, or depression. And I kind of thought that it would be a good episode to do, just to talk about on a very basic level that, you know, I feel like being a stay-at-home parent is probably one of the loneliest things mm-hmm. that people can do, because you're basically shutting yourself off from all adult contact and you're just hanging out with your kid. And unfortunately, it doesn't do the same thing.
It doesn't.
So, like, my husband, for example, like, he's a stay-at-home parent in our house, and it for sure affects his mental health. Sometimes he's, because he never gets to get off work. He's working 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I know that he struggles with that. I do think that just as a parent in general, it's so much pressure to be a parent that it's easy to get discouraged and depressed and, you know, just feel awful all the time. I do think that, I don't know. So the story that I will tell is, we had these friends. They were my husband's friends, and they've known each other since elementary school. And it was a couple, and they had like an 18-year-old, but they also had like a 9 and an 11-year-old. Well, the dad ended up like succumbing to suicide. And we were at the funeral, and these kids, oh my gosh, these devastating, heartbreaking kids. It was horrible. It was just horrible to watch. And And I feel like it was one of those things where it was a shock. I wasn't suicidal at the time. I was pregnant with one of my kids and whatever. But it was just one of those, like, shocking moments about that was reality, that no matter how much you think your kids don't want you here and they'll be better off without you, let me tell you, these kids were not.
Or that anybody doesn't want you here.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing is I think that we put so much pressure on ourselves as parents to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nobody's ever going to be perfect. And the fact that we as moms expect each other to be and expect ourselves to be just creates an insurmountable amount of pressure. And it's not that outlandish to think that a lot of moms are depressed and suicidal, because the pressure that we put on ourselves is, like, outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that one of the things that has helped me kind of get through depression as a mom is reaching out and trying to make friends, which I know sounds like an impossible task when you're depressed. But even just in the last year, when I was, like, depressed or whatever, it was nice just to have a group of moms that I could, you know, touch base with and reach out to, and kind of just who understood. So one of the things that I would say is, if you're struggling with something like this, you know, as hard as it might be to go out of your comfort zone and make friends if you don't already have them, all moms are going through the same thing. And I think the only way that moms get through stuff like that is with other moms who can, you know, have that kindred spirit and kindred situation and relationship or whatever. Because it is, I don't know, there's so much pressure in being a mom.
I think it's important to surround yourself with friends that have similar situations going on too. I mean, because you can have a friend that understands about depression and things like that, but it's hard. They may not be able to relate or understand as well if they don't have kids, or they don't have a husband or a spouse or significant other. Just kind of some that's, I think, been more helpful to me in my life, is to surround myself with people who have my same situation going on.
Yeah. Yep. It's true though, because I don't know. I just think that it's easier when you know you're not alone.
Yes.
And it's easier when you're reminded that you're not alone.
I was just going to say, it's if you already have these friendships made, these friends are going to be there to say you're not alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think one of the other thing that is important to note is the fact that even if you are, like, going through a depressive episode, whether that be because of the, I don't know, this is Wisconsin, so we have, like, seasonal depression.
9 months of it.
We don't get enough vitamin D up here, so. But, you know, for whatever reason you're going through a depressed episode, I think it is important to say that, you know, sometimes leaning on your kids, even though you think that they can't handle it, or you think that that's not what they're there for. I mean, they do give really good cuddles.
They do.
They do give really
good hugs.
You don't
necessarily even have to say to them,
right?
Mommy's sad, or mommy needs a good hug. To make her happy or anything. You can just say, hey, come cuddle with me.
Right.
And you can weep silently into their hair.
Exactly. As we speak from experience.
And that's why I'm laughing, because it's not that I think it's a light subject. It's just because that sometimes that's what you have to do, is
yeah.
Just gather them in and hug them.
Yeah. And I think one of the other important things that I feel like got me through a lot of my depression was the fact that I got to a place where I cared more about being a mom than the other 47,000 things that I'm supposed to be doing in a day.
Yes.
And I think that if you are going through something hard, it's not horrible. It's not horrible to say, like, I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to do the dishes. We are going to eat pizza 5 nights in a row and the kids are fed. And that's totally fine. They're going to live without eating green vegetables for 5 days. I promise, guys.
Right.
I think when you take away those stressors and those, like, additional tasks that you have to do just to keep the tiny humans alive, it definitely alleviates at least some, not all, but it alleviates some of the pressure and some of the depression. At least it did for me.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's a double-edged sword when you do have kids, because on one hand you're going to feel like you're insecure about it, and on the other hand you're going to feel like you have to live for them. So that's a lot of pressure too. I don't know. I'm in a weird headspace because I'm like, it's just, I don't know. It just makes my heart weep for moms who are like struggling with mental health right now, because it's just, I look at my littles and I look at like I look at my mom. Okay. My mom was 29 when her mom died. Mm-hmm. She had a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and like an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And so she was 29. Okay. And so she basically grew up. She had my brother. She got pregnant when she was 18, had my brother when she was 19, and her mom died 10 years later. Mm-hmm. So she, even as an adult who lost her mom died from cancer, but it was devastating for her just to not have a mom as an adult. So, I mean, just to have the struggle with mental health, and I mean, there's no capacity that your kids are ever going to be better off without you.
It's true. I don't even have a whole lot that I can say that would be different or to reinforce that. It's it's, you're important to somebody.
Right. That's true. So that's our love letter to you mamas today.
Yeah.
We hope that if you're having a rough day and you just need some snuggles and your kiddo snuggles aren't doing it, that take a deep breath. Don't do the dishes. It's okay.
It's, I mean, and we've discussed this before. It's
right.
When you're going through a rough spot, it's okay to have pajama day. It's okay to have the meal of, we're going to have oatmeal for lunch and oatmeal for
yes,
supper.
Oatmeal's like my go-to hot mess meal. Listen, it's, I can even pretend we're being healthy.
So it's, I think it's okay to let go of the, I'm perfect and everything has to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And because none of us are perfect.
Right.
I mean, come visit my house.
As she steps over piles of dirty clothes as she gets to this office.
I mean, just, it's, none of us are perfect. And not even the mamas who have everything are perfect.
They have
bad moments too.
That's true.
And so
even moms with clean houses get depressed.
So I think that's so hard though, because like I don't know if I can blame that on the media or social media or whatever it is. There's just something ingrained in all of us that makes us think we have to make life perfect.
Right.
And everything has to look this way or be this way. You know, you can't act that way or do this. It's like, nope, we're all human.
And it's okay to be human.
Right. I mean, we don't want you to wallow in it for years on end, by all means. That's definitely not the message that I would say. I would say it's okay to stop, though, and say, I need a deep breath. And hey, if you've got those friends that understand, or even family members, say, I need a day off from my kid. Can you come get them? I need to just stop and think for a minute.
It's true. Find that reprieve somewhere.
Find someone to come and help you out. I mean, there are more people willing to help you. And I speak from experience, because I still struggle with this. It is so hard for me to ask people for help. I feel like it's a weakness.
Yeah.
And so, even today, I asked a friend to keep Joe so we could record without having to stop 3,000 times. And I waited to the very last minute to ask her, because I was just like, I don't want to do this. I feel like I'm being needy. I mean, I never ask people to watch my kid. Really, I can count on both of my hands in the 4 years of his life how many times he's been with somebody else. And so
he's almost five. It's not like he just turned four.
Yeah. So it's very hard. I understand that I don't want to ask someone for help because it looks like weakness. And we talked, I think Cammy hit, Sister Cammy, we love you, Table Talks. She kind of hit it on the head today when she talked about, it's actually our pride that
is
building some of that. And I know that that's tough to hear, especially if you're depressed or if you're having a hard time at this moment. It's don't let your pride be so much in the way that you're not willing to ask for help.
Right?
Yeah.
True to that.
So I think I could just go on and on, because I'm super passionate about the subject myself. I've had friends who have committed suicide when we were just young, in our 20s and things like that. So nobody is not important.
Right.
If that makes sense. It's everybody has a purpose. Everybody has someone that cares about them somewhere.
Right. That's so true. All right. Well, let's meander past that and get into our recommendations. So I'll go first. My recommendation is, I feel like everybody's just going to be like, really, that's your recommendation, Melissa? But so John is 7.5 and he can read now, obviously. And we've started to read books together, like chapter books, not even like the actual like reading books. So the book that my recommendation this week is going to be the Harry Potter books. So John's 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're going to disagree, that's fine. You can disagree to Michelle. That's fine. She'll accept your disagreement. John has a very creative mind, and he's very like fantasy driven, and he is very creative. And I think that the Harry Potter books kind of help fuel that creativity. I can speak, I promise. So that's why we chose the Harry Potter books. We have waited longer than he has wanted. He wanted to start doing this a year ago because his dad loves Harry Potter. And it's just like a magical world of it's just crazy, the detail and, you know, the intricacies of it and everything. So we have waited longer than he wanted to, but we've started like reading back and forth. Like, he'll read a page, I'll read a page, or he'll read a page and then his dad will read a page or whatever. And so we're reading the first one, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And it's just, it is magical. And it's not just magical, like the scenery of it, but just reading a book, like an actual book. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like,
yes,
Dr. Seuss is in a book. Like, okay, fine.
Right. But no, a chapter book.
A chapter book where it's like there's story and there's plot and there's twists and like, to just read it with your kids. It's pretty cool.
I've even read chapter books to Joe. I mean, he's not at a point of reading them himself, but I do read chapter books with him because I think it does. We've discussed this over and over again because we're both readers.
Yeah.
But it's just.
And my children will be readers also.
Whether they like it or not.
Whether they like it or not.
It opens up a door to your imagination and your mind. And I mean, I would quietly listen to your complaints if you think that Melissa shouldn't be reading
Harry Potter
with her 7.5-year-old son. But then I would probably agree with her and say, no, mind your own business. Because I wouldn't say that openly to you, to your face. I would just smile and nod and say, oh, we all have different parenting styles. I've not read the Harry Potter books, but it's not because I disagree with them.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
But if Joe walked up to me and said, hey, I want to read these, then, I mean, we would read them. It's not, right. Because I don't believe that he's going to become a witch or a Wiccan or become a devil worshiper from reading those types of books.
I'm laughing.
I believe my God has way more to do than that. I think that's amazing that he's reading it. It was funny because I keep referencing to the one time that I got to watch them, but because I remember you before saying that he would say, oh, I can't read that. But when they came over a couple weeks ago, as we were walking down the street, he was reading all the names on people's mailboxes. And I'm like, I got
interesting,
you.
Interesting, isn't it?
Because Joe is just making up names. He's like, oh, this is this person's house, and this is what that says. And John's like, nuh-uh, that's not what that says. This is what that says. And I'm like,
But you can't read, right?
So, no, I think that's a wonderful recommendation.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, my recommendation is, I read an amazing book. Of course, I feel like that's all I've been recommending lately.
That's fine. I recommend a lot of movies, so it's fine.
But it's called Girl, Be Brave. And I feel like maybe I've recommended.
You had
this.
It's okay. It's like 10 episodes ago. You can talk about it again.
Okay,
it's a good one.
It's so. I paused because I was like, shoot.
She paused and furrowed her eyebrows at me, and I was like, it's fine. Nobody's gonna binge listen to these episodes like we do.
We listen to them over and over again and text each other. And we're like, "This is amazing."
Okay, Girl, Be Brave.
Girl, Be Brave. So
it's Girl, Be Brave.
So is one of my favorite authors. But it's a daily reading. And it comes with just a short little reading each day. And
is it spiritual or is it like an affirmation book or a devotional?
Me put it in our Cheryl Hale is her name. But she actually she wrote these. It's like a daily inspirational. Like the other day, like some days she talks about, you don't have to be perfect. You know, just get up, do your best that you can. It's important. Basically, the plot, the whole message behind it is keep moving forward. Don't stop. Or there's even some, you know, people are going to say bad things about you. You can't let that weigh you down. You can't make that stop you. And right. I love some of the messages behind it just because it seems like whenever I pick up the book, it's what I'm struggling with that day. I don't know if God is just using that book for me and I pick it up on those days that I need it, or if she somehow just magically timed out.
She's like, Michelle, be brave.
But no, it's, I,
I don't know. I'm not real super big into like female empowerment in a, I guess I mean that. And like, I don't mean women should rule the world. I mean, we should, cause we're smarter, but I also, I'm just kidding, guys. Everybody relax. Oh, we know you're smarter than us.
False.
But I believe in the empowerment of getting past that stereotype that it seems that us as women are still struggling against of we're just housewives.
Right.
We're just moms. We're just this. We're not just that. We're people. We're world changers too.
Right.
We're not just raising world changers. We're not just feeding world changers.
Right.
We are people with thoughts and opinions,
yeah,
and we can contribute so much to this world. So that's why I really like those types of books, because me, I tend to, as soon as somebody says something negative to me, just go all in with into my head with all the bad things and like, whatever, just I'm done with life.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be a mom, I guess. I'm just going to be a wife. I'm not going to be amazing or anything like that. So I really like that type of stuff because it gets me out of my own head and helps me to remember there is a purpose for my life. God didn't just create me just to feed somebody.
There's no just.
Do laundry. Yeah.
You're not just on anything.
I'm, right.
There's not, you're not a just.
Right. I'm.
You're a mom. You're a wife.
Right.
It's not, you're not just a mom or just a wife.
Right. Those are adjectives that help describe part of my life.
Yes. Listen, so 2021, you're all gonna, this is everybody's gonna roll their eyes at me. I just know it. And whoever listens this far into the podcast is gonna be like, oh, Melissa, of course you did. So at the beginning of 2021, okay, 2020 was really hard for me just because like we were shut down. Mm-hmm. Like all of like my trajectory of my job, my trajectory of my spiritual walk with God, my trajectory of all my friendships, it just plummeted because we were on lockdown. So at the beginning of 2021, I was just like, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to find my ministry. And listen, it's June and I'm like 4 for 4. Yes. Well, 3 for 4. So I'm going to change the world. And I think that books like that book, I mean, I'm not saying that you got to like be the Pope.
Right.
I have the wrong genitalia for that. But I will change the world. And everybody has the ability to change the world.
Well, and if you have listened to our podcast before, because I do remember very clearly discussing this. Now, she wrote the book based off of a message that her grandma had written in her Bible of, yep, stand up, girl, be brave.
Right.
Don't let life knock you down. And so I do think that there's just more for us than being a just.
Yes.
So that's my recommendation for the week. Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I am Messy Bun Mamas.
This is Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
This is Messy Poop.
Messy buns, you silly.